The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Sorry for the long break, but we missed one with JVG. So awesome, awesome, awesome.
Coach can literally talk about anything.
Anything. He's awesome. He's
maybe not. Well, sometimes pop culture, too. He was big on The Sopranos. I don't know about now if he can do anything.
Since he hasn't been with a team, is he up on rap, you think?
No.
I'm pretty sure.
But he did. We found the guy that was fired with Maroon 5.
He enjoyed it. Why can't we enjoy?
No, it's fine.
Let's just enjoy. Why does everything have... I hate... Why do you have to... Why? Yeah, like Raheel says, your life must be so good if that matters to you.
Yeah.
If that's important to you, what a great life you're living.
Well, you can... I get saying, whoa, what a bad halftime show. The fact that it like, oh my God, this is going to consume me for a while. I need to write articles about it.
But how stupid is anyone who said, Adam Levine can show his nipples, but Janet Jackson can't? That's like the stupidest, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I mean,
it's not.
You could go to
1,000.
Any beach and there's guys there with shirts off and women cover up. It's not that hard. It's different.
But why is it different, John? That's why people. That's the question for people.
Well,
why?
You just want all women to expose their breasts.
I don't care one way or the
other. He didn't need to pull
his
shirt off.
That's what you want because
first of all,
you're filthy.
No,
far.
I'm asking you the question. Why is a woman's breast so more titillating than a man's chest?
There's no guys that need to be pulling their shirt off in the middle of a halftime show. That doesn't need to happen.
No, that didn't need to happen, but it's not offensive. Like showing with all those kids there showing a woman's breast.
Janet Jackson's breast. Why was that offensive? Because she's a woman?
Says the weed dealer.
Because it's because. Well,
says not, Walter White over here.
Yeah.
Not weed dealer. Owner.
Investor.
Investor. Yes.
It's classy. By the
way, that's illegal in this state.
Who said he's investing?
It's not in this state.
He's not investing in this state.
Yeah. See? Don't listen to him.
That's all. It looks like it's going to sell, too. That's dumb. It's dumb. Okay?
Lance, are you offended by a woman's breast?
No, I think.
Do you want your kids watching? Did you want a woman up there on the stage?
Yeah, God's creation.
Did you want a woman up there on the stage during the Super Bowl taking her shirt off?
No, I don't believe that. Or Adam Levine was necessary.
But was it offensive that Adam... Oh, did you have to hide your children from Adam Levine taking his shirt off?
I hid him from the flat notes. Yeah.
And let's be clear.
Well, get out of here, kids.
That was
this
more,
sounds terrible.
That was more offensive.
This heart has taken control of me. Goodbye.
Were you offended that he didn't play Sweet Victory?
I don't know what that is. Drake watched SpongeBob. I don't even know the SpongeBob stuff. I didn't even realize that was a SpongeBob thing. Drake probably knows. And I used to be up on, granted, I used to be up on, because my wife hates SpongeBob, so my kids are never allowed to watch SpongeBob. But
why? SpongeBob's awesome.
But Drake watched SpongeBob.
There's always a great lesson in there.
I know all about Now It's Time for So Long. What's his name with the
Patrick
Blues
Star?
Clues?
Oh, I don't know that.
Blues Clues. Buzz, yeah. Thanks for doing your part. Are you kidding me? You didn't know Blues
Clues?
Yeah,
no.
Because JT was the same age.
Yeah, no. He would. Yeah,
you would know. They know Blues Clues. Yeah. So I know Blues Clues, Gargoyles. I mean, there's certain Rugrats. But as far as SpongeBob, I don't know Sweet Victory. And that's apparently a huge thing, but it must be because the generation that watched them are now in new media.
Well, here's what happened. Squidward put together a band for the halftime show. And they were so terrible, nobody could play. But then when they got to the game...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's the story behind it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then when they got to the game, they were unbelievable, and Squidward passed out, actually died, and went to heaven.
No, he didn't.
Well, his soul did, but Squidward was still there.
Dale, you co-signing Sweet Victory? And I guess they teased it. So I guess what happened was the original creator died of SpongeBob.
Oh, did he?
That's the thing, yeah. And so they had a petition with over a million digital signatures. You want to impress me? Run that host from house to house and get a sign. Then I'll be digital. How hard is that? Digital. There it is. Take that bitch house to house, and then then I'll be impressed.
Your kids are in the car.
This man is not happy with you right now.
This man has already stated it wouldn't have been offensive to see Janet Jackson's breasts, so you got to know how we roll.
Super Bowl, it's offensive. In person, not offensive.
It's art for certain. It's on national television with 100 million people watching.
So I haven't seen a breast before. I like to choose which one is art.
Like,
yeah, how do you decide?
Yeah.
Apparently,
I can.
There was some...
Okay, that will be art. Nope. Offensive.
Apparently, there was some kind of poll after the game. Couple thousand people answered. 46% of them could name one of Adam Levine's tattoos.
What do you mean could name it?
He had California written.
I recognize that.
Yeah. Well, so people they knew what it was. I mean, they could remember it.
But
the same amount of people, 46%. Could name that the halftime show was sponsored by Pepsi.
Well, so it is kind of interesting. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that. No.
I didn't either because I didn't watch a second of it. And I didn't see Adam Levine's tattoos either. But.
I can tell you that I knew that he was going to get slandered at halftime for doing a halftime show. That was a given. I would be interested to see how bad, like people were already had their tweets saved in their drafts ready to slander it. But it was so legitimately flat, lacked energy. Like, it was bad for real. It wasn't just, there's a group of people who just were ready to send their tweets that they didn't like it and they hated it. And we know every year that's going to be the case. But this was legitimately it was bad in real life. That's the problem. And honestly, I thought it was bad start to finish. There was Travis Scott, I didn't think was good. Adam Levine couldn't get off the stage, was on everyone's stage with everything. The shirt coming off was just such pandering. And then I thought, I was excited about
it. Works out hard.
It's pandering.
If your
too.
Son Drake was up there, he'd take his shirt off.
He'd be pandering too.
Yeah, I don't need it in the Super Bowl.
You don't want Drake up there on the stage?
Why didn't he just say, "Watch the Voice"? Why didn't he just do that too?
And didn't he pretty much do a striptease? Like, if he had a couple more minutes, his pants would have been off too.
Yes. And then you've been nut crazed. You've been nut gazing on him.
Give him some more time.
Give him more time.
You don't know.
So
it went from three layers of clothes. It just kept going off.
He was grinding up there.
So what's the number one halftime show people want to see next year?
Where is it going? Super Bowl's in Miami.
Oh, well,
I bet you Gloria Estefan makes up an appearance.
Oh, she'll have to
somehow, some way.
Okay, here, let me throw this out.
She'll have to.
There's no chance Trick Daddy is out there.
No.
There's no chance Uncle Luke, but that would be.
Trick Daddy.
I met this girl, but Chris Wong's dead, so you can't do that.
Has a better shot than Uncle Luke.
Brother Marquise?
You need a Miami rapper. Who would it be? Rick Ross? No way, right? Rick Ross wouldn't do it, would he?
Rick won't do it. Who will?
Well, who do you think the people want more than anybody?
Pitbull. You don't think Pitbull's going to be there?
Pitbull's a lock of the century.
Pitbull's going to be there.
But you already know who it is?
Well, I know who people voted for. I'm asking you guys.
I don't care who people voted for. Pitbull's in. No, Dell's right. Pitbull.
Well, not if they can get this act.
Okay.
Who?
Ying Yang.
Ying Yang?
Rihanna.
Not the Ying Yang twins.
Rihanna.
I don't know. Rihanna's kind of woke. I don't know if she would show up for the Super Bowl.
She won't.
They want J-Lo second.
Well, J-Lo might.
J-Lo could make it.
J-Lo could make an
appearance.
I feel like Pitbull's a lot.
Hold on. Is Rihanna from... She's not from Miami. She's from the Caribbean.
It doesn't matter where she's from.
But I think Rihanna.
Rihanna's kind of woke, though. Miami. Okay, so one guy was from... So you had...
Big Boy.
Big Boy
from Atlanta. I think Gladys Knight is too, right?
Probably so.
Gloria Estefan will make her appearance. That's Miami.
I don't think it's... I think Dell's on it.
Well, they both. Pitbull. Gloria might sing the national anthem. Pitbull do the halftime.
Yeah. Okay, if we put everything on the...
On the table, yeah.
If we put everything on the table, yes.
Gloria Estefan, national anthem.
And Pitbull.
And I'm going over.
I mean, the halftime.
No, I don't think Gloria Estefan...
But Gladys Knight went over. They all go over.
They all
I don't think she'll be national anthem. Come on, shake it, buddy. And I'm like, we went that far back?
No, we'll have her... The sound machine ain't going to be there. She's going to do the national anthem.
She's not doing anything from the one.
You think she'll get that in the national anthem?
Come on, that's what he thinks.
She needs to go straight off her Mi Tierra CD. Como guitarras trovadoras de San Juan. And everyone go, why is she singing Spanish?
That's not the national anthem.
I know, it's Tus Ojos.
Look,
wait a minute. What if she does the national anthem?
De mi tierra bella. Bum, bum, bum.
In Cuban. And she sings in Cuban.
If you really want to... Is what's her name, Dad? Yeah. Who's my girl who sang Guantanamera? See, Uncle Freddie got me into all the Cuban music. So I actually went and saw Tito Puente in concert with Uncle Freddie here. And it was awesome. Awesome. I don't... They might have a Cuban angle. They might. But Tito Puente's dead.
Well, if she sang it in... Oh, wow. That would be totally sweet.
No, it's Pitbull. Why are we even still messing
around? How would America
around?
Respond Hold to on, singing the national anthem in Cuban?
Hold on. Is Pitbull from... Where's Pitbull from? He's Puerto Rican. Is he New York from New York, though?
I have to look it
no
up.
No one knows.
I feel like Miami does make sense for Pitbull, though.
Well, he's called is, Mr. 305.
Oh, well, then there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Miami makes sense.
Pitbull. He's going to be Pitbull.
He was born in Miami, Florida. He's Mr. 305.
Oh, yeah, then he's
he's in.
That's all.
Because he's
in.
He's pertinent enough.
Is he too woke, though?
No.
Pitbull.
No. Rihanna's woke.
You got the check?
There won't be no money involved, but okay.
Is the check going
to
clear?
You donate it to charity is what you do.
Oh. Yeah. 813 ESPN 97.5, time for you and I.
No one's going to play halftime, and no one's going to be in a dunk contest.
So if you saw my Twitter, you saw the 25 roses I gave my wife. And
were you embarrassed?
Very, very appreciative. I know, right? It's only 25.
Yeah. Were you embarrassed?
I know. Listen. I'm basic. So if you're not basic, you'll go 50. You'll go 75. Mm-hmm. Put together the best presentation for her on Valentine's Day, and the best one we're going to vote, and we're going to give you a dinner for two at a really nice place. So here's the deal, though. It is the most inexpensive way to get her flowers. 25 flowers for $29. And every 25 you add, just add another $20. That's ridiculously low. That's actually wholesale, so you can go out on the street and sell them.
I mean, if you want to hustle hard like that, have them delivered in 3 days and go sell them and go resell them if you want to. That's actually something you could do. You could order up to 125. But the main thing is, just understand this. They're coming fresh from the fields. They cut them, they clean them up, and they send them right out. So you're getting them fresh. This is not, you know, my wife, when I had them delivered to her, you could tell, they bloom. They really bloom full on after about 2 to 3 days. So these are going to last a while for you, too. And they're so high quality. I buy my wife and my daughter flowers all the time and roses. I used to bring my daughter flowers every Friday. It got a little expensive. With Rose Express, it's not. And for Valentine's Day, you need to look like a hero, but you need to do it on your budget. And so whether you want to get 25, 50, 75, 100, or even 125 delivered right to her office so you get all the benefits that come with that, make sure you go to roseexpress.com. It's roseexpress.com. And yes, Valentine's Day delivery is absolutely guaranteed. Order it right now so you have it taken care of. roseexpress.com.
ESPN
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Oliver Luck joining us at the bottom of the hour, talking to XFL with the commissioner and CEO. Commissioner and CEO. Big cheese. Big cheese. Had a lot of jobs, as Jeff Van Gundy pointed out. Dude's had a lot of jobs. Fernando is here. He wants to talk about the halftime show. What do you say, Fernando?
No, I just wanted to tell Lance, he was asking who's saying
Guantanamera.
It was Celia Cruz.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody hit me on Twitter and reminded me of that. So, yeah. Yep. So, and I think she passed away a couple years ago, too.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
Yep.
But, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Kind of, like, look, the Salsa Merengue, you know, live music.
I think it'd be awesome. Live, I think it would be awesome. And
yeah.
I've seen it live when Tito Puente was here, and it was incredible. Like, it's a party. Yeah. It's really a lot of fun. Granted, any Super Bowl halftime show you have, it's going to be a very short party. So you better get your fake fans who run out on the field and pretend to be super excited. You know, you get you know the halftime kids who run on. So they'll get that.
It'll be hilarious. All these Miami
should.
I think exactly.
That's exactly what it's going to be. But yeah, they need to. They need to pay homage to Miami like that, the culture like that. That would be good. They did it with Atlanta, so why not? I think you'll do it in Miami, too.
And by the way, guys, I love your show.
Thanks, man. You know?
Thanks, Fernando.
So, we appreciate it. Dell, what did you think about that?
Just another guy. Just another one, man, Dell.
Who more loves proof. You guys.
More proof, Dell.
More tickling, Dell.
More proof of what, Lance? Yep.
More proof that people love us, Dell.
Yeah, I know that.
Why? I got a question for you guys. Why did Tom Brady have to horn in on Julian Edelman going to Disney?
That was weird. Julian probably invited him.
What?
Wait, they went together?
Did you see him riding a roller coaster together?
I saw them in the parade together.
I saw him in the parade, and they rode the roller coaster together.
I'm sure Julian
But Tom
was
Brady,
like,
you weren't the MVP.
I'm sure Julian was like, come on, Tom, let's go.
Or Julian was like, hey, I'm the MVP.
You beat it.
Why? You got to take the spotlight?
You were in Dominican Sue said? First of all, I don't know why Julian Edelman even got the MVP because Dominican Sue said they basically shut out Julian Edelman. So, yeah, I mean, he got some catches in the first and third quarter, but, like, none of them led to point. Like, there were no touchdowns. He said we basically shut him out.
With 140 yards?
He went 10 and 150.
Did any of his catches lead to points, though?
You didn't shut him out?
Yeah, they led to field goals, didn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just following Sue's alleged logic.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Why did he get the? Who did Ndamukong Suh think should have won the MVP?
Ndamukong Suh doesn't
probably
care,
thought Ndamukong Suh should have won it.
Yeah, he probably did.
Probably, I can see that. I mean, they held the Patriots to 13 points.
Well,
your point, Stephon Gilmore. I think that would have been a good choice.
In a Super Bowl there were 16 points scored. Why not give it to the game sealing interception?
Right.
The game almost sealing pass interference call that wasn't called, and a forced fumble and a couple. Pass defense, give it to a guy in a defensive game.
Yeah. And have a corner win it.
I would have been okay with that. I think it was the fact that, you know, one of the things that will go underrated is the first downs. In a game like that, you also don't want to have a short field on you. And I think the Patriots being able to rely on Julian Edelman to get them first downs, to move the ball, that's also highly important in a game like that as well. So that the game is not played on your side of the field or even near midfield. So I think Edelman's catches, even when they didn't, you know, a pass defense prevents a first down. A first down is also a big deal. And my guess is Edelman probably at least half of his catches, if not more, went for first downs. In a game like that, that takes on added significance because it's all about field position.
Absolutely.
And that helps too. That's one of those little things because you don't want the game to be played near half, you know. You don't want to get shut out at your own side of the field and stay there. Because it seemed like the Rams were on their side of the field a lot. Did y'all notice how Hecker actually did not punt well, but he had like three really good rolls. Really, really good rolls. One of them went 64 yards. But other than that, where his punts landed, he was not he was not really punting great.
I'm shocked that they didn't do anything on special teams to create some kind of a turn. You know, even trying it. Just something, because that's what, I guess, you know, the Patriots are going to be ready for that.
Well, they had a penalty the one time because it was 4th and 3.
No, but I'm talking about a fake of some sort.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. They got taken. It was 4th and 5, and it ended up at 4th and 10, I think, because they had a penalty. You could see Fossil, the special teams coach, was all pissed off, which made me think something was afoot.
Maybe
was on the way.
Maybe. Do you see that there's some calls for Julian Edelman Hall of Fame? No?
Get the hell out of here.
What, Dell?
Julian Edelman Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Why? Does Deion Branch get a vote in the Hall of Fame, too?
Rings. He did bring breakfast.
He did. I told you he'd bring breakfast. I told you.
That's why.
I told you he'd bring breakfast.
That's why.
Look at him.
We got rings. Oh, uh-huh. Nice. He's got rings, Dell.
So what?
He's got rings.
Deion Branch has a ring. Does he get in the Hall of Fame, too?
No, Deion Branch has one ring. Julian Edelman has multiple rings.
Get out of here.
Rings.
Julian Edelman's numbers are ridiculously low.
Thank you.
Are they really?
Oh, my God.
Nonsense.
He's like 150th. He's like 250th in yards receiving in NFL history. 150. I mean, it's just, he's had 2,000 yard seasons.
Well, I don't think I don't think every situation should be just a stat chase.
Let's be clear. He is not a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
No, it's not even close that he's all.
Look, we know the deal.
He's already 32 years old. He's had 2,000 yard seasons. He's been injured so much. He's got 5,000 total yards receiving.
Oh, and by the way, he's a steroid guy.
He probably had 120 catches and 800 yards one season.
499 receptions, okay, and 5,300
so well,
receiving.
But here's the difference, though, John. Now, here's the difference. It is interesting because his first four seasons, he was playing behind Welker.
Yeah.
Or first three.
Well,
so if you take that out, if you look at where he's been since then, it's been pretty good.
You know what Hall of Famers don't do?
They don't play behind Wes Welker.
This is not going to be
30. Stop it.
30 touchdowns.
It's ridiculous.
30 touchdowns feels a little low.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a Hall of Fame.
Who said that?
No.
You see how many targets he gets up?
Stop.
150 targets twice. That didn't lead the league. It's not.
Well, all right.
150 targets didn't lead the league.
We got Oliver Luck with us in studio next, right here. I don't know. Did you hear Van Gundy about you? Oh yeah, we asked Coach about you.
Bring him up. You'll tell him.
We'll bring it up for you. Stan or Jeff? Not Stan. Jeff.
Hey, let me tell you about Texas Custom Patios right now. If you want to enjoy your games, and you want to do it out in the setting of, you know, 65-degree weather right now, go out on your patio and do it with Texas Custom Patios. That's what I do now. Sometimes I go out there, I do my NFL draft stuff out there. Maybe I'll go out there and watch a game. I saw Super Bowl out there. Sometimes you just go out there and turn your Netflix on and watch your Netflix. I'm telling you right now, this is your opportunity to make your house truly a home by having an outdoor living space done by Texas Custom Patios. They are absolutely the best in the business. And I went searching for a patio place, and I looked high and low, and I ran into Texas Custom Patios as a recommendation, and I was blown away by the work I saw online. I met with Steven. He designed, he looked at my space, said, this is absolutely perfect. And I had kind of a nasty looking backyard, and what he saw was an unbelievable opportunity to create an outdoor living space for me. And if you want to see the transformation, which is pretty remarkable, actually, go to tcplance.com. And that's Texas Custom Patios. They will use the very finest materials, the very best designs out there for you. And you will get an outdoor living space or sunroom or patio or enclosure that is going to take your house to the next level. TexasCustomPatios.com. To see the before and after of my home, go to tcplance.com.
Something wrong. I hold my head. MJ gone. I'm dead.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Being joined by an old friend of the show, Oliver Luck, who, first of all, welcome, the commissioner and CEO of the XFL. Well, congratulations
on the
job.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. We were with Jeff Van Gundy, and we were going over all of your jobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't hold a job very long. That's
Dynamo,
one of my challenges.
Okay. And then Sports Authority. Right. And then West Virginia. And then the NCAA. Yeah. And now XFL. We said, yeah, in a couple of weeks, he'll have a new job. So we'll talk about that, whatever that is going to be. No,
you're keeping track, though. That's very nice of you. I appreciate that. I'm a little bit nervous about the stalking.
You forgot a quarterback.
That was a really short career.
Now you're just Andrew's dad.
That's right, pretty much.
That's all. That's your biggest job there. By the way, congratulations to him.
Does that make him the city of Houston's grandfather
He's the Texans' daddy.
Yeah.
I know that.
He likes playing against the Texans.
He does.
No, think about it. He may have his best record against the Texans and the Titans, right?
Yeah.
I think the Titans because it's the old Oilers, and he would not want to lose to his old man's former team.
Right.
The Texans because he grew up here.
T.Y. Hilton holds the NFL record for most yards against a single team, yards per game. It's T.Y. Hilton and it's Texans. Well, guess who's throwing all the passes?
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, I know who that is.
So, okay, and congratulations. Comeback player of the year.
Thank you.
That was a nice night and everything else. Yeah, really. I was surprised.
There were a couple guys. I mean, JJ could have won that.
Well, but he only got four votes.
I know. That
was unbelievable.
Deshaun could have. Well, quarterbacks always get more. That's just the way it works. But Deshaun Watson could have won that, too. I mean, he had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
In fact, he was sitting literally like two seats next to me.
Yeah.
He had a nice outfit on.
He and DeAndre like the dress.
I don't have the courage to wear that.
Of course you don't have that courage. Well, welcome, and welcome back to the city that we are an XFL. How did we come to the decision that Houston would be one of these cities?
So, you know, we sent out a bunch of RFPs to, I don't know, 35, 40 markets way back in the spring. Houston responded. Two reasons. Number one, it's a great sports town, right? I can't imagine a football league like ours launching with eight teams not being in both Houston and Dallas, quite honestly. And secondly, Janice, Schmies, Burke, right, at the Sports Authority, they do a tremendous job of making it easy, right, for a group like ours to come in, even though I know the market pretty well, know the city pretty well, you know, figuring out where's your practice facility, what kind of stadium opportunities exist, whether it's BBVA or U of H, right? They grease the skids better than anybody, and I can say that because, you know, we've had exposure to all these markets across, all these big cities across the country. So I think those two reasons. But most importantly, this is a great football market.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And we think our league, the XFL, is really based on the following rationale. It's 85 million football fans. 40 million of those are self-identified, passionate fans like the three of us, right? And right now we have a void in our lives because there's no more football. Super Bowl happened and we got 4 or 5 months without football. We want to build a league to appeal to those fans. And based on all of our research, those folks will watch football. They'll consume it. It's got to be good. It's got to be good quality. Mm-hmm. XFL 2001 wasn't good quality. This, I think, is going to be good quality football when we launch in 2020.
Was there any – so – but there was no thought of rebranding because you already have the XFL name and you think of He Hate Me and all this stuff, throwing the ball, the scramble at the middle, which obviously you guys want to get away from that.
Correct.
But how is the league going to be different than the NFL, for example? Where do you want to be?
Yeah, we've got about a dozen things that we'd like to do differently. Some are major. We think we've got a good kickoff. Because if you like the kickoff return like I do, it's an endangered species. It's getting phased out of the game, right? College and pro. So we've got a different kickoff that we're testing. We're going to test it with the Spring League, with Your Call Football. We tested it with some JUCOs back in December. We're thinking about a 25 or 30-second clock, right? So it's going to be a much more up-tempo game. We're thinking about a different overtime. We're thinking about different extra points, right? 1, 2, and a 3-point extra point.
Wow.
We'd like to have a 9-point touchdown to allow a team to get back in the game a little bit more quickly. We're looking at the CFL's no fair catch halo rule on the punt, mm-hmm. right? So there's about a dozen things that we're looking at. We brought a group together to do what Vince would call reimagining the game. So we had John Fox and Jim Caldwell, Doug Flutie. We had a couple of TV tech guys and some health and safety guys because we wanted to make sure the stuff we were doing, you know, wasn't going backwards in terms of brain trauma, right? Like the scramble, right, you referenced back in 2001. Right. So we've got about a dozen things that we're going to do. We've got some broadcast agreements that we're about to announce, and we're going to have really powerful broadcast partners, right, to give us tremendous exposure. Mm-hmm. And we want to do all of that in less than 3 hours. So we want to go back to, you know, that three-hour sort of window that existed back in the 70s and 80s. When I was running NFL Europe in the 90s, we had to get done in 3 hours. That was sort of the rule, yeah, right? Remember the Heidi game?
Mm-hmm.
We all remember the Heidi game.
When, yep, did you run NFL Europe? From what years to what years?
I forgot, yeah, that job.
And I was actually there for a decade. That was a long stay.
Wow.
1990 through 2000.
Yeah, my dad was there when it was,
yeah, NFL, your dad was coaching,
was World League of, yeah, America. So you started when it was WLAF.
I started when it was the, yeah, WeLAF, the worst acronym ever.
Yeah,
WeLAF.
Not good. No.
But he loved
the marketing,
it,
guys didn't really figure that one out.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, and this is an interesting angle I always wonder if the XFL will be able to capitalize on, is that, so he was in the World League of American Football, became NFL Europe. He was with the New York, New Jersey Knights. Would travel to the Scottish Claymores and
Frankfurt Galaxy, the Barcelona Dragons,
and he thought it was great. Yeah, but he said, you know, it's interesting. And I would ask him, and once again, this is the early 90s. I'd say, what do they think of football? He goes, you can tell they're trying to cheer for teams, but they don't really get it, and blah blah blah. Well, fast forward, you know, two decades, really beyond two decades, and he is part of football FBU, Football University. And a group of former NFL coaches and players head overseas, right, and they teach.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm telling you what, he said, it is really growing. And he talked about Germany and Austria. He said, they've got some guys over there that are going to become players. He said, we're getting ready to see
if you're a big guy, so think about this, right? So there's 80 million Germans, right? And that was our best marketplace, you know, Frankfurt and Dusseldorf and Berlin. They all did very well there. If you're a big German guy, if you're 230, you're not playing soccer.
No.
Yeah, right.
You're just not playing soccer,
right?
And there's really nowhere else to go because soccer is the, right, overarching sport. You know, it's sort of soccer and then indoor soccer and then, you know, five-a-side soccer, right? That's all they do. So there's a real opportunity for players over there. It takes a long time.
Will you draw from there?
We are planning to have an international player, you know, on every one of our rosters. We're going to start slow. But there's talent in Europe. You know, there's talent in Japan, quite honestly.
Yeah. They'll find rugby players and pull them out of New Zealand.
Marcus Hunt. They found Marcus Hunt, right?
Well, he's from Estonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's a player. I mean, most of the good ones spend some time in the U.S. high school or college. Mm-hmm. It's hard to learn the game completely over there and then transfer right into
Jordan Malatiti or whatever, who was drafted by the Eagles.
Yeah. He made the squad. He made the 53 man.
Yeah. He was the big tackle, the gigantic tackle.
Yeah. So.
So Bjorn, here's a Colt, Bjorn Werner. Remember that kid?
Yep.
Florida State,
yeah,
DN.
Yeah.
Right. He went over, I think spent a year, maybe 2 years in the U.S. high school, played at Florida State, All-American.
Right.
First round choice. He was a bust,
right,
to be honest.
Right.
But he played 3-4 years, right? And he's actually working over in Germany trying to send kids over to high school to get them trained up a little bit earlier. So there's some talent.
Because Australia.
Well, Australia's doing
Australia's
that with kick punters.
Doing that with all the punters.
Yeah, right.
Tons of punters and now kickers.
Right. So you find big kids over there and send them over here.
I was influenced by the great Tony Fritsch.
Oh,
remember him?
Yeah.
Right? You know, Oilers kicker and Cowboys kicker.
Yeah.
Tony, you know, I was a backup holder, I think, to Giff Nielsen or something. And, you know, I'd be out there holding for Tony. And he would say, I kick him the ball, you know, because it's a, right, I kick him. And he talked about how easy it was for a soccer player like Tony had been, national team, Austria,
mm-hmm,
you know, transferring into a, you know, becoming an American football kicker. He just was knocking through the uprights. Thought it was the easiest thing in the world. Right? Yeah. The field didn't have to run at all.
You pay me?
Yeah, you pay me. You pay me. No, seriously.
So, okay, so there is a possible market. You got 1,600 more, 1,700 NFL players out there. So you're picking after that,
yep,
right? So why is this going to be a better league than it was before?
Because we're going to take it seriously. I'll be very honest. You know, Vince didn't emphasize the football component enough. He emphasized a lot of the marketing and a lot of the swagger and the bravado and all that. You don't need bravado and swagger in football. There's enough already baked in.
There's testosterone, you know, out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of testosterone right, going out there. So they didn't spend enough time preparing for the season. You know, they had a 10 rating on CBS, right? Because it was the old deal was a joint venture between CBS and WWE. They had a 10 rating on the opening game. And, you know, it didn't work, right? Didn't work. The football wasn't good.
NBC.
So, I'm sorry, NBC. Thank you.
Yeah.
But it didn't work, right? And, you know, the football, I think that Vince is a great promoter. He understands creating the narrative. Look what he's done with WWE, built a marvelous, mm-hmm, organization. And I think we're going to focus on football. We're going to have, legitimate coaches, guys who have been former NFL head coaches, former major college head coaches. We're going to be in great venues. We're going to have great TV partners. I mean, it's going to be a real football league where I believe the football is going to be a high enough quality that people say, hey,
so we're not going to have like WWE. Well, it's not going to be written, the pregame yelling at each other stuff. That's not, we're not going to do any of that?
No. If it's spontaneous, that's one thing. That's right? But there won't be any WWE.
Okay, good.
Will says, so basically XFL is going to do everything the NFL is not doing. Yeah, in some ways.
Well,
what the fans would like to see.
Yeah, listen, the NFL to me is a great league, right? I love the NFL.
Right.
I was proud to be a player and proud my kid can play. It's a juggernaut celebrating 100 years.
You're
next
not trying
year.
To be. You guys have already said we're not trying to compete with you.
No, we want to be a compliment in the spring, right? For those people, like the three of us, who miss football. I like college hoops. I worked at the NCAA, but I don't turn my football sort of, viewing habits into college basketball viewing habits right after the season's over, or the NBA for that matter. I like to watch football. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people like me. Based on the research, there's 40 million of them.
Could you envision a scenario where the NFL allows their play? Now, I don't want you to have to speak for the NFL, but would you?
I know where you're going.
Okay.
So let me tell you this. So my wife and I go to every Colts game, as you would suspect. And I typically, will bump into like Dave Caldwell, GM of the Jags, or, any of the personnel guys. And they'll say, hey, Oliver, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, gosh, we really miss NFL Europe. We wish there were a league in the spring where we could send a couple, three of our peace squad guys to see if they can play before we re-up them or before we cut them, And that's what NFL Europe served. That was one of the, one of the points of the whole league. That's not happening anywhere, At this point, it's not going to happen with us, right? We're going to build a sustainable standalone league. If the NFL ever wanted to consider doing that, we certainly would be willing to have a conversation because we think, what's good for football is good for all of us. But I do think there is a need for some sort of a spring league, where players who are on NFL practice squads can play. If you're a third-team quarterback, not on the 53-man but on the P squad, you're not getting any better, right? You're running somebody else's plays. You're Tom Brady one week, and then you're Marcus another week, and then you're Blake Bortles the third week. You're not getting any better. Your skill set's declining. So I saw, as the guy running NFL Europe, I saw Kurt Warner, Jake Delhomme, John Kitna, Brad Johnson. Think about that name, right? These guys went over to Europe. They played 10 games. 10 games. But the bullets were flying. It was live, live action. They had film on them, and in many cases, they resurrected their careers because they were on the ash heap. They were on the dung heap, so to speak, of the NFL. But so our argument really is to a lot of the P squad quarterbacks, hey, come play 10 games. You'll do more for your career than spending one more season on a practice
squad. Can they do that? Are they not considered under contract?
If they're out of contract.
Okay.
They have to be out of contract, right. Obviously.
But isn't the NFL tied to the Alliance?
That I don't know if they're tied to the Alliance. I mean,
there's not a direct.
They didn't send any. As far as I can tell, they haven't sent any.
They're not sending their players.
Yeah. Nothing's official at all.
No. Are you worried about that? Them starting up now, and you guys going to be starting?
Not really. I hope Charlie and Bill Polian, who are basically running. I hope they do well. I mean, I think that'd be a good sign for us. I think there's plenty of space for.
And they're going to San Antonio. You're in Houston. You guys going to be in the same city? No, any of them?
They are not in any of our markets.
Doing a smaller market.
They're doing the Memphises and the Birminghams of the world, more than New York and LA.
Which is what the world, which was what the World League did, didn't it?
Going way back.
Birmingham.
USFL was in the larger markets, if you remember. Right?
Yes.
New Jersey, New York, obviously.
Right.
The Gamblers,
Right.
Hey, your readers have to read Football for a Buck. Jeff Perlman is the author. It's about the USFL. It's a good read, and the stories, all of which you guys know, but you've forgotten them, like I did.
Yeah.
Great stories about Jerry Argovitz and the whole group, right? It was awesome.
Perlman's a good writer, too.
Yeah, very good writer.
Very good writer.
Excellent.
All right, 713. We got Oliver Luck here. If you've got any questions about the XFL, you're more than welcome to get in here and ask him that. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, let's talk about Craig DeSurf.
Let's talk about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's in Angleton. And that little trip to Angleton, you say, Angleton, that's like 47 minutes away from me. Okay, and what's your problem? What if you end up saving $3,800? What if you end up saving for every mile you... What about if I told you for every minute you drive, it could end up being $1,000? Is that something that might interest you? Because I can tell you this much. It's kind of, or I guess every minute's $100. You would have an opportunity to save a bunch of money. And that's basically what's going to happen. Do you understand that at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton, they don't have the same overhead that the Houston stores have? So right off the bat, they don't have to have the same bottom line number. They can be more aggressive with their pricing for you, the consumer. And here's the other thing. At Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they also can offer you more for trade-in value, because Craig DeSerf wants to make sure that he not only gets your business, but your second, your third, your fourth vehicle, all of your neighbor's vehicles, everything out there. And his customer service, there's a reason I speak for Craig DeSerf. I speak directly for Craig DeSerf because I think that highly of him, and I want my listeners to deal with him. Whether it's pickup truck like the Chevy Silverado or the GMC Sierra pickup truck, whether it's a Yukon or the Suburban, whether it's the Buick Enclave as a crossover vehicle, I know that you're going to not only get a great car, but at a great price with great people. Go to LanceZCars.com. Check out their entire inventory today. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
Hey, I want to talk right now about, yeah, I think you, everybody knows that I imbibe every once in a while. I like to have a cocktail. I like to have a Coors Light. And when I have a Coors Light or more, a lot of them, then I like to take Cheers. Cheers is what Thrive used to be, Thrive Plus. Now it's called Cheers. Cheershealth.com. And it's a locally owned and operated company by a lot of smart guys, scientists and doctors, Ivy Leaguers. It's they know a lot more stuff about the human body than any of us do. And here's the thing is, I'm going to feel better the next day. I'm going to take three of those capsules before I go to bed. After I'm done with my last Coors Light, I'm going to take three of those capsules, and I'm going to feel better the next day. It's guaranteed, because if I don't feel 50% better, they're going to give me my money back. And you can tell if you feel 50% better the next day. You know what that hangover is. Or even you're just a little sluggish. Even if you don't imbibe like I do, you just have a glass or two of wine, that's fine. All you got to do is go to cheershealth.com and feel better. Cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 850-713-780-3776. Oliver Luck, Commissioner and CEO of the XFL. With us here in studio. You've had a lot of, as you mentioned, you've done a lot of different things, a lot of, how is this, I mean, starting from scratch? Were you the first guy you hired?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, think about it, though. How often does a sports league, a football league in this case, you know, start from scratch? It's very rare, certainly in the football world. Right.
Right.
So, you know, when Vince announced back in January of 18 that he was going to relaunch the XFL, I kind of, yeah, that's interesting. And then some of his folks reached out in April or May of this past year. But I thought, what a unique opportunity, you know? And I've done something similar with NFL Europe, and we launched, you know, teams like the Dynamo and MLS. But mm-hmm. This is an entire league. And you don't, every day you realize, oh my God, there's like 10 more things I got to think about. And I can't do those today, but I'll have to try to get them, you know, tomorrow. But it's gone pretty well. The good thing is, John, Vince has a lot of money, and he's supporting this thing in a big way, right, in terms of his capital, and he's giving us time to plan this thing, right? So we don't play until 2020.
Right.
And you can't rush into these things. I mean, just doing things that are really boring, which, like, for example, getting your workers' compensation structure set up in those states where we're going to have teams, right? It's statutory to have workers' comp coverage. You know, that's the law. There's no way around it. So, you know, finding a broker, you know, all those types of things are hugely important from a financial side. Nobody talks about them because they're kind of dull, and it's not about the game itself. But he's done all those things already. So I kind of walked into, you know, a structure that already a bunch of work had been done, which is
good. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That you don't have to do it because that's boring. Good
Lord.
Well,
I'm a lawyer, it's painful. I mean, it's, yeah, but, right. But you need to do it, right?
Right.
Because it's big money.
Well, okay, so what are your thoughts about at your league and the vicious hits and the head hits and making sure that it's a safe, because like you just talked about workers' comp, I bet the insurance of a football league, a professional football league, has got to be astronomical. How are you guys going to approach the whole CTE and the head trauma thing.
So we want to be very responsible, right, in terms of our obligation to our players. And they're our human capital. And they're not. The interesting thing is they're not unionized, right? So our players aren't unionized. Like college players are not unionized despite the attempts up at Northwestern a number of years ago. So the health and safety rules for the NFL pretty much come out of the collective bargaining agreement, right? No two-a-days, you know, with the day off, all that sort of stuff. We'll mimic those, even though we don't have a union, right? Because I think the NFL, quite honestly, has done a pretty sincere job of trying to figure out how to minimize contact in practice. You know, game's different, right? Guys are going full speed.
But I think they've done a better job with that, too.
No, I think they have. I mean, I absolutely, the you know, the lowering the head thing, you know, led to fewer concussions this year, which is a good thing. I mentioned that we've got a different kickoff that we think will reduce head trauma. I like the CFL no fair catch halo punt rule because it does not allow for that huge hit when a guy's trying to catch it and just gets blown up, right? That's not a good look for football, for the sport, whether it's college or pro. So we're going to take it seriously. Our league neurologist is a guy named Julian Bales, Dr. Julian Bales, former team neurologist for the Steelers. And he was also one of those guys in the movie Concussion. He was played by Alec Baldwin, if folks remember that movie at all. He's now currently up in Northwestern. He's the team doc for the Northwestern football team, and he also is a brain surgeon up at the North Shore Hospital. So we're bringing really quality people in that want to that really want to do it the right way. We care about football as much as anybody else and don't want to be any kind of a renegade or an outlier when it comes to health and safety.
Well, you mentioned it a couple of times, the kickoff. I'm ignorant to this. What's your idea? Are you giving
it's
it away yet?
I'm not giving it away. It's top secret.
It's a kickoff, okay?
Don't fall for this shit.
Okay, you should break it here. What are you doing?
I'd be happy to break it later.
All right. Okay.
We're testing it. We tested it with JUCOs. I'll send you some film if you'd like. We tested it with JUCOs.
Well, then it's not a secret anymore if you've got film.
I trust you to keep a
conversation. I won't keep a lip. Don't trust me. People have done that before.
Yeah, the point of it is, I want to keep the kickoff return in the game. Because otherwise, it's going to get phased out.
It's exciting.
It's one of the great plays of football.
Right.
It really is. It's one of the great.
It's the lottery scratch-off ticket at the end of the game. And it's also, and frankly.
Well, it's non-existent now.
I know. It's dying out.
Yeah. And this is the problem. Frankly, games, look, it's going to die out some because there are specialists. Guys just kick further on kickoffs now. But
put them further back.
Yep.
Make the guy kick off at the 15-yard line.
That solves it. And then there's strategies.
And so we got, and you got decent field position as opposed to.
That's right.
That's right. It'll be more often.
So we think we've got a decent idea, right? I don't want to blow it up too much right now, but we're looking at it and trying to. Why is the kickoff return getting phased out of the game? Because it's the most dangerous play in football because of the velocity of the kickoff cover team running down.
Right.
So if you address the underlying cause, maybe there's a way to make it safer.
Heavier shoes.
No. No, they got to be laying on the ground as the ball is kicked, and then you can get up and go.
Like an Oklahoma drill.
Or you got to turn around and face
them. Awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
No, there's some. Once you start getting creative, you find ways to make it safer and to keep the kickoff.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, and this is going to go over the head of anyone who's in their 20s who you only play video games. But when we were kids, you had to make up games.
Oh my God.
And then you made up rules in your games based on it could be the weather, it could be who was or wasn't able to play that particular day.
Growing up in Cleveland, our favorite rule was you had to dive over the snow pile.
Yeah,
right? Right? Into the touchdown.
There were rules that you made up to make the game more fun or more competitive.
The goalpost was a utility wire, right? And you had to kick it over the goal to get the extra point. All that stuff, right?
Well, or baseball, right field's closed because you only have three guys on each team.
Okay.
So right field's closed. And if you hit it over into the tennis courts, it's an out. So you got to hit it off the wall.
Ghost Runner came from.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough people.
That's it.
Ghost Runner.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Runner scored. What? You don't want Ghost Runners in your league.
Don't do Ghost Runners.
Ghost Quarterbacks.
So you will reveal in different things. Okay, kickoff you want back. Any other? Some other stuff that you can elaborate on?
We think we have a neat overtime. That's going to be different.
We can't talk about this either?
No, I can't talk about that either. I mean, all these things are things that we're going to test.
Right? I see. Okay, pro or anti-NFL rule?
Different.
Are you pro or are you?
I'm not a big fan of either the college rule.
You're not?
Nor am I a big fan of the NFL rule because 68% or something of the teams that win the coin toss win.
Right. I started at the 50 or so. I mean, first of all, the field goal kickers are too good in the pros to have the college game.
Yeah. Right.
And, yeah, but you don't – but here's the thing, though. You don't – what they don't want is too much additional football because of brain trauma. No, so.
And we're trying to – keep in mind, we're trying to get it done in 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, we, you know,
so you've got to have –
yeah, I don't want to have –
so you're
going to
start at the 1.
not
the 25,
two.
Let
me get a little bit tougher. Now we've got a number of things that we want to literally want to do differently. You know what I mean,
that'll be fun. You think you're going to get hours in?
Yeah, I'm convinced we can do that. So we've got a army of, you know, college students, all analytics guys, and they take an NFL game, and instead of a 40-second clock, they do a 25-second or a 30-second, right? And they can kind of crunch that down. Fewer timeouts, 2 timeouts a game. A shorter halftime.
Stopping the clock on incompletions.
We're going to have a running clock. First quarter, running clock, 13
Can
minutes.
You get
of
with baseball?
Second quarter, the last 2 minutes of each half, the clock will stop, right? So you can't kneel the ball. You've got to keep moving. If the Lux are playing the Granadas, right, and the Lux are ahead and we're nursing a lead, I can't take four.
Oh, because every play, even a running play, it stops.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You got to actually play football as opposed to taking a knee.
Ugh. So, but you're going to do 25-second clocks. You think you're going to be able to get plays in and get going in 25, 30-second plays?
25 or 30, yes.
In play clock.
We've looked at a lot of the college programs that are doing the hurry-up, and these guys are snapping the ball with 24 seconds left.
So it's going to be a hurry-up game.
It's going to be a sugar huddle game.
But even with the clock running, how many plays do you think you'll run?
I think we can get 75, 80 plays in per
Which
team.
Is not crazy.
Yeah, it's not crazy, but it's enough, I think, to...
And it's more than the NFL. The NFL,
you know,
60
almost,
to 65.
Think if you're able 70, to yeah. go to more exactly. college... The NFL game is headed to college anyway.
That's right.
And all the trends show that. It's a lock. That's what it's doing. If you go... There's still some things the NFL wants to hold on to, like, all right, we've got to be able to get the plays in. You know what? Says who? At some point, and the slow adapters, it's going to be the college game at some point. You guys do have a chance to
college,
kind of set some
college
trends.
Innovates a lot more than the NFL does because Division part two, of it is because there's a bunch of teams. There's 735
Texas
teams
high schools are innovative. Right. It goes from the ground floor up. It doesn't trickle
that's
down.
Right. All right, let's talk about insurance right now. And we got Oliver Luck with us. Raheel will join us on the other side.
Let's
here.
Talk about our good friends over at TGS. So TGS is where what you do is you text money to 232323, text money to 232323, and the automated system will text you back. And it will say, what is your address? You'll give the address, and it will give you a firm quote back within a matter of seconds. This quote is your new homeowner's insurance if you want it to be. Now, you obviously, if you're going to sign up, you're going to follow up, you're going to look into what exactly is offered in terms of the coverage, and they want to make sure it's the same exact coverage that you already have. But in case you need to, you know, add flood insurance, if you want to add additional coverage for whatever the case may be, they'll do that for you as well. Raheel did that. He added flood insurance. He still saved a couple hundred dollars. I added $100,000 of coverage, and I saved $700 on my very first time in with the insurance company. It's getting time to where we've got to go shopping again. I'll go through the same process with TGS once again and find the very best rate that I possibly can. TGS Insurance, make sure that you text money to 232323.